it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, welcome to New Horizons. Demystifying the National Disability Insurance Scheme is our topic for this week's program. In fact, it'll be the topic for the next 2 weeks. We speak with Vicky Rundle, Deputy CEO of the National Disability Insurance Agency. Vicky, thanks for joining us on New Horizons.
A pleasure, Vaughan.
Deputy CEO of the NDIA, that sounds like an interesting title. What exactly is it that you do?
Myself and a range of other colleagues are responsible for the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and I look after particularly the government side of the NDIS and our relationship with states and territories and the Commonwealth, also our communications and media function, our policy function, and our stakeholder engagement function.
Okay. Now, we have quite a number of questions that have been posed by listeners to New Horizons over the last little while. And let's start by talking about one of the things that concerns our audience particularly, and that is accessible formatted materials. So, for example, people's NDIS plans or communications from the National Disability Insurance Agency. What avenues are there to ensure that people get their material in accessible formats?
It's a really, really good question, Vaughan. The first thing I would like to say, though, is that we're really committed to improving and making sure that all of our communications products are accessible, and we're always looking for feedback on our publications and products in relation to their accessibility, so people should feel free to let us know what they think about them. We've done quite a few improvements recently. One of the things that's important is we've established minimum standards for accessibility and the production of documents in accessible format, things like Braille, CDs, screen reading, and so on. And you might think that that's pretty standard, and it is and should be, but it has taken us a little while to do that. We've also got some new participant booklets and a self-management guide. Our access request forms and things like that are now all available in Braille, and they can be ordered by calling the NDIS Contact Centre, and the number for that is 1-800-800-110. That's the NDIS Contact Centre, 1-800-800-110. The other thing that we've got is the booklets and the self-management guide that I just talked about are also available on the NDIS website in accessible Word document format, as well as accessible PDF, which can be read by screen readers. There are also easy English versions available of these booklets, and they're accessible for screen readers as well, and they're also available on the website. And we've been recently using the services of Tagged PDF Company to create more accessible online PDF documents. And we're just investigating now whether our booklets that I just talked about should be made available in large print radio and audio, available as well by podcast or sound file. So I'd have to say it's still work in progress, and we've been doing some work with Blind Citizens Australia, as you may know, Vaughan, on our new website. And in fact, we slowed down the rollout of the new website so that we could test with five members of the BCA recently. We did this at the end of October in Newcastle to get their insights into how our new website should be structured. And now, up until the 5th of December, BCA are conducting private testing of the beta site with another six members and users. And what we're asking them to do is undertake a range of tasks using their preferred platform to test the site, including paid software such as JAWS, free software such as NVDA, and people who use contrast and text resizing features. And when we get that feedback, we'll incorporate it into the new website before it goes live in 4 weeks. And when it goes live in 4 weeks, we're still wanting to hear from people what it's like once it's live, and we can make further improvements.
So if somebody has an NDIS plan, they can presumably request it in the format of their choice?
Yes, they can.
And how long do they have to wait? Is it something that happens sort of simultaneously with the printed version, or is there a lead time on that?
Now, that's a good question. I think that there would be a lead time, particularly with, you know, converting into Braille. With the new pathway work we've been doing, people would know if they've been in the scheme for a while that there have been a lot of issues with people getting their plans just sent to them or put into a portal, or, you know, not even terribly good communication about when their plan has been approved. And with the new pathway work we've been doing, we've been trialling sitting down with the participant and showing them in draft and talking them through their draft, if that person is vision impaired, what the new plan looks like and what would be in it. And sometimes it's possible to even approve that plan on the spot if the planner with the person has a delegation to do so. If they don't, it will then go to someone more senior with a higher delegation. But usually within a few weeks, that plan will get approved, or the or will know whether there's a further question. And then the planner who's been sitting down with the person will come back to them and let them know the outcome of that, and they'll be able to confirm their plan or come back with any further questions that they might have in a couple of areas. And one of the things we're hoping to do, of course, for people who aren't visually impaired is give those people a copy of their plans, if it's possible, at the time, so they can actually get quick and easy feedback. With Braille plans, there'll need to be a little bit of time between then and then converting that, unless we look at the availability in all of our locations, and there'll be well over 100 locations just for us and many, many more locations for LACs, the availability of Braille printers and things like that.
Speaking of Braille printers and other things like that, let's talk about adaptive technology. What is the process for getting approval for adaptive technology, and generally speaking, what sort of things would be and wouldn't be approved?
Firstly, I'll talk generally about assistive technology, and then I'll talk about technology as it relates more to people with vision impairment. And the first thing I'd say is that with our assistive technology generally, we've experienced a lot of delays and difficulties, and we have been the first to acknowledge that, and we're very apologetic for the impact that's had on people. What has happened is the sheer growth of people coming into the scheme who require assistive technology has resulted in a large backlog, and that's because we think our business processes for approving it has been very cumbersome. So I'll give you an example. In May of this year, we made a change to the quoting process, and we removed the need to have a quote for any item that was under $1,500. That's made a big difference, because at the time, 45% of our claims were under $1,500. And what we did was we said, we'll just put that money straight into the plan and people can go and get what they need. So in the case of people with vision impairment, they would be things like white canes, kitchen scales, special phone apps. They're just some examples. And that means that it'll be a lot quicker now to get assistive technology that isn't bespoke or expensive. The second thing that we're doing is we're actually going to reduce the requirement for quotes at, you know, in the next most expensive group of items, and we're just working out what group that might be, where we'll end up with only a very small number of very bespoke, maybe 5% of the AT market, where we will need eventually a quote for something like for a piece of equipment, or some other support that a person might need in this area. The other thing we're doing is we're looking at early in 2019, we're looking at replacing like for like. So I'll use a different example this time. If someone had a prosthetic limb, it's taken quite a while to get a prosthetic limb replacement for some people, and of course that has a big impact for people. And so we're going to be looking at where a person already has an item and they're replacing it, that it should be fairly straightforward if we're replacing like for like, and that should just be able to go into their plan as well without a quote. And there are some other things we are going to be looking at as well, such as convening a panel so that we can get much faster decisions on even those things which need a quote. So there's quite a bit of work in this space because we realise that our business processes have been terrible and very difficult for people to navigate. And we're also clearing the backlog and doing quite well at that. Now, with people with vision impairment, the sort of things that are likely to, at the moment, that need a quote are what we call, our higher level ones. So things like JAWS and Braille note takers, for example, at the moment need a quote. But again, when we get to the improvement next year where we look at replacement items of like for like, I can imagine that those sorts of things would be able to be replaced as well without a quote if they're replacing like for like.
And I'm guessing too that particularly for Braille note takers and software products, the situation would be that the price doesn't change substantially. So the NDIA would have somewhere on file what these things cost roughly, so they'd have some sort of idea?
We do. And also, we try to, stay within, reasonable ranges for people, but there are always exceptions as well to be made for people who, they have exceptional circumstances, they might need something that's a little different. But you're right, we do have a good understanding of what the value of these things are.
So how does this work, for example, in the situation, or take my situation, for example, where I might need a Braille device for home and for work, and I have previously accessed Job Access, for example, for workplace modifications. How would that work in relation to the NDIS?
Now, that's a great question because this is one that's asked often about the relationship between Job Access and NDIA. And indeed, we've been asked, and you will know this one before, whether or not the NDIS actually replaces Job Access. And I just wanted to make it clear that the NDIS won't replace Job Access because that people may know that Job Access is a program created by the Australian government and brings together all of the information and resources that can drive employment for people with a disability. And the other program that relates to this is DES, Disability Employment Services, which is a mainstream service supporting people with disability to enter into open employment. And the two are connected. But what we do is we generally look, whenever we're looking at a support that a participant requires, be it a Braille reader or anything else, we will say, is this something that is funded normally by other mainstream services? And Job Access would be a good example in this case. And is it something that we would suggest people go to Job Access for to see if they would fund that? Now, I've got a colleague who did this very thing recently with their Braille reader. They actually got their Braille reader through Job Access. And having said that, we actually do fund Braille readers as well, as people probably know, Braille note takers as well. So I think it's tricky because you can't separate out what's needed for work and what's needed for home. And there just has to be some logic and common sense applied. And so we understand that people really only want to manage one device. But where possible, we would encourage people to try and access mainstream services that were set up to do the sorts of things that that say Job Access does first, and they're actually quite quick as well, usually in getting supports to people.
Vicky Rundle there from the National Disability Insurance Agency. We will continue that discussion next week. Don't forget the Blind Citizens Australia office will be closed over the Christmas New Year period, but you will still be able to look at the BCA website. Until next week, I'm Vaughan Bennison. Take care.
We'll achieve the realisation of our dreams. Of our